The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and AP Katy with Jake Gutierrez, now joined by Jared Sutton. What up, Jared Sutton? How are you?
I'm good, Stephen. How are you guys?
Oh, man. Just glad it's, 9 o'clock on a Friday morning and the weekend's ahead of me. Sounds good.
Check it, Mace, in the background. Get you going.
So, can we talk about Dell and Ellen Sutton right now, or is that still...
I would love to.
Everything's happened. There's no more surprises.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No more surprises.
So how did their congratulatory anniversary video that you put together for them, how did that go over?
It was a hit. It couldn't have gone any better. And thanks to you and Nate for making it special and submitting a video as well. I had a couple former teammates that were a part of the video, and then obviously friends and family and good friends of my parents. And I think my parents were overwhelmed. I think we played it really well of trying to, you know, make it seem like it was going to be a very low-key 40th celebration. We're just going to do dinner. And then we obviously surprised them. And, you know, it was a special evening. It's obviously one as their youngest son, you'll remember, just because 40 years is such a milestone. And, you know, my parents are a great example for their kids of what love looks like, and I know you could say the same, and Nate could say the same as well. So it was a special evening.
What did Nate do for his portion? So Jared asked us to send just a video message to his parents, and they were gonna put together a video for their 40th anniversary of all these people wishing them well. What did Nate do for his video that he sent?
Nate was short and sweet, to the point. He basically, you know, gave a lot of credit to my dad for locking up my mom, and you know, I think made the reference to my mom's breakfast casserole, I believe, was in there.
First of all, I did it in front of my cardboard cutout of Matt Beisler, so that way that they could feel like, you know, they had Matt Beisler in on the video as well. And I said, the man who is the greatest vocalist in the history of the Border Patrol. And the woman who has produced the greatest breakfast casserole in the history of the Border Patrol, no wonder they are such a wonderful match for one another. Something like that.
Right. That's right. That's right. Very special. Very. I think my mom and dad were very surprised to see Stephen and Nate on the video, and they were really very, very excited about that. It was a great surprise for them.
Would you like to describe what my portion of the video was?
Well, I will say that an evening reflection is a highlight for a long time for me. With my dad's, now I can't remember if it was the Christmas CD or just a different album that he had that you had playing in the background. But an evening reflection was a great one. You can explain it better than I could.
It is a video, and credit to the director and camera woman Susan St. John for being behind the camera, making everything happen. But I was standing at my window at night by the candlelight, drinking a delicious cup of coffee, just staring out into the yard, listening to the sounds of Dell Sutton with Dell Sutton's picture up on my computer screen. And so then here comes Susan with the camera, and I turned around like, you've interrupted me. I go, hello. I'm enjoying my. I was like, yeah.
"Oh, hello."
Let me take a moment for my evening reflection to.
Oh, you caught me off guard there,
Dell,
with that camera.
Right, that's right.
I'm just sitting here listening to the dulcet tones of Dell Sutton right now, like I do every night.
By candlelight, which is very important, sets the mood.
I had to turn the volume down. You're just blaring out speakers. I was like, I wonder where the girls are at right now, where the kids are at right now.
Oh, they loved it. So I'm glad. I'm glad they enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun to do, except for the times that my wife was yelling at me. And so, but we got over that, and all she wanted was the best out of me. And so that's what a good director does. They get the best out of the people in front of the camera.
Well, thanks for doing it, because my mom and dad have talked a lot about the video over the last few days. So it's a highlight, not just for them, but for our family. So thanks for being a part of it.
And now let's move on to the NBA and what's going on right now, Jarrett Sutton. I mean, we're getting closer and closer to the playoffs. Your thoughts on what we've seen, not only from the Pelicans, but anything else that has jumped out at you in the past week down in Orlando?
Yeah, so it's still, I think, the hunt for eight in the West. I think, honestly, a big conversation right now in the NBA is Michael Porter Jr. and what he's doing for the Denver Nuggets. He had 27.
Hilo, okay, let's stop. Just stop right there. Stop right there. Because listen to me. Listen. I want to tweet about it, and I want to talk about it. But I'm going to be – and I knew this was happening. I knew this was going to happen. But it hurts. It hurts me. Because we all, it's getting a reminder of what could have been. And for the dummies or others, see, he was just overhyped. He was terrible. He wasn't healthy. He just wasn't, and he was not going to be healthy in that time frame. And now when you see that he's healthy, OMFG is what I said.
He's a monster.
This is more than I even thought, right? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's a monster. And, you know, he's doing it on a low degree of shots, not a high volume amount of shots. And there's,
well, he doesn't like taking shots.
Yeah, that's right. But
boom,
that's
boom.
Right.
That was a needed a rim shot there. Sorry.
Wow.
But to Stephen's point, I mean, it is kind of like pouring salt in a wound for Mizzou fans. I do feel for that just because, you know, Michael was the number one player in the country coming out, wanted to go to Mizzou to sort of revitalize the program at that time. It was Konzo's first year, and we know the story, but It's great to see Michael healthy and playing the way he's capable of playing, because obviously the skill has never been the question and his ability has never been a question. But what he's doing down in the bubble and the three-point shooting, the rebounding, I mean, he had 27 and 12 last night. They lost to Portland, which we needed Denver to win that one last night, and they didn't. But Michael's been great. And I got asked this week about, you know, is there a team in the playoffs that you think could really make some noise that we're not really talking about? And I think the Nuggets are talked about, but I just think with Michael playing at this level, I mean, with the Joker and with the players around, you know, that those two guys, Jamal Murray is a very, very elite level scoring guard. I mean, they got a lot of pieces. Will Barton on that team? I mean, they are a team that could compete to get to a finals appearance. Just if Michael's going to play at this level and play this consistently. I mean, his last three games, three double-doubles, he obviously had the 37-point game, he had a 30-point game, and a 27-point game. I mean, that's pretty consistent. So they're going to be a test in the playoffs, no question. And they're getting everybody's healthy. Bol Bol is putting the ball on the floor, blowing by
Bol Bol
to the rim.
He got posterized last night, though.
I didn't see the highlights. I just saw his.
How excited Nate is to talk trash on a local kid.
No, I've been all over the Bol Bol hype train, but he got absolutely
like
posterized last night.
It doesn't hurt my feelings. He's a Miesh stag.
I want to say. So let's play the clip again. We could lease this clip out to people in Denver if they want to play this on their sports talk, Jake.
They got Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter. I'm getting tickets.
Well, you're not getting tickets because there are no games being played in Denver, but in the future you could get tickets if you choose. And see, this is why I got to separate, you know, myself from, like, my hatred of the Broncos. Like, it's clear that this should be the team that I root for with Michael Porter Jr. and Bol Bol. And it should just end right there. There's no more discussion. Then they're a pretty good team. But the only thing that's holding me back is it's Denver, and that's where the Broncos are. So I don't like it. But and then who else? Is Josh Kroenke, right? I mean, with Denver.
Yep.
I mean, there's many ties there. But and just to follow up your point, after exploding for a career high 37 points and 12 rebounds on Monday. Michael Porter Jr. remained hot with 30 points and a career-high 15 rebounds to lift Denver to a six-point victory over the Spurs. He became only the third rookie since 2000 to post consecutive 30-point double-doubles.
Yep.
What?
The guy that posterized Bol Bol was Yusef Nurkic, who I have to admit I didn't really know anything about. Jared, but then I looked him up and He's a 7 feet tall, 290 pounds. He's a beast, isn't he?
God, and I was just about to say, I mean, that this Portland team, that this is a team that we're competing against for eight. And right now, Portland, I think, is the team that deserves the 8 seed. They are playing really well, and it helps when Dame goes for, what did he have, 45 last night? You know, he's locked in. CJ McCollum, but they're a very good team. And, oh, by the way, they got Carmelo Anthony, who has decided to make some shots, and he's starting to become a great addition to that team. So they're probably the hottest team right now that is in that five-team kind of spot to try to get 8 and 9. And I think Portland right now is the hottest team to get an 8 seed. We're obviously, we did not play well yesterday. We gave up 125 points, shot 57% from the field and lost by more than 15. That's the first time that's happened in the NBA since 2008. So clearly we need to defend if we want to have a chance to get into this playoff race, because you know, it's these games are dwindling. You know, we have four more left. We play tonight against Washington. We got San Antonio on Sunday. San Antonio is tied with us to try to get into that 9 and 8 seed. But we got a lot of work to do. And right now, Portland is the team to beat, in my opinion. Memphis is 0-4. They lost Jaren Jackson to an injury, a meniscus injury, which is tough to hear just because he's such a great player. And with Ja, that's a really good young team that's going to be a really good team, I think, down the road in the NBA. So we got a lot of work to do, and right now Portland is the team to beat. And like you said, Yusef Nurkić, Nick or Nate, is a stud. He is a bona fide four man that can do a lot of things with the ball, get to the rim, he can shoot it. They're a good team. They're going to be a tough out.
I root for New Orleans because of you. Now I've got Denver that I like, and then, of course, rooting for the Utah Jazz because of Quinn Snyder and Jordan Clarkson. So I've got some options here.
It's always good hearing Quinn's voice.
Is it? I love Quinn. You know what? I like that guy.
I do, too. He's one of the best coaches in the league.
I like him,
and
too.
I know that.
But, you know, just...
I like anybody who is on a bounce back. You know, somebody
good,
that...
Good job.
You know, somebody that... that, you know, fell down and picked himself back up and achieved even more than he did.
Well, even just to throw that on top, he was probably the hottest coaching recruit candidate available in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a mm-hmm. high pedestal to fall from and then bounce back.
I feel like I owe Steven an apology. I brought up Michael Porter Jr. and now we're talking about Quinn Snyder and, you know.
That's just, fine.
These are good things.
Okay.
It's fine.
You should be apologizing to Nate and I.
Right. But it's storylines to keep me interested in the NBA. So it's nothing. There's nothing wrong there. And so I wanted to ask you about this. Somebody, you know, the Bucks have been kind of hot and cold. They came back from a 23-point deficit against Miami yesterday, and they clinched the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. But I can't remember what analyst said this, but somebody said that Milwaukee needs to realize how good they can become. It's like still like, and so I thought that was an interesting comment. What do you think of that? Because Milwaukee, I don't see a whole lot of people actually picking Milwaukee to win the whole thing. And maybe it's just because they haven't done it before, and they figure that playoff experience, even though they did go deep in the playoffs last year, playoff experience could be a deciding factor. But what do you think about Milwaukee? And the idea that they need to believe in themselves and understand how good they can become, and that will give them a better chance to fulfilling their potential.
Well, I think it touches on a game that they just had recently against the Rockets, and you know, James, it's no secret, James Harden and Giannis, they have a kind of a competitive history that is there with those two guys going up against each other. And you know, I think when you look at the Bucks, I think I said this a couple weeks ago. They're a team that could win the NBA Finals. They have, I think, arguably the best player in the league. Yeah, it's debatable right now, but I think statistically he's had just an absolutely unbelievable year, has a chance to be MVP in Giannis. But you look at their team, and they got depth. They got pieces, Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe, Brooke Lopez. You know, those four really drive that team. But they have to show on a consistent night in, night out in the playoffs that they can get it done. They can close games and close series. They have all the pieces to do it. I think that comment is a thought that I have too, as far as them just understanding that they belong in the finals. They belong in the conversation to win a championship, but they haven't been there before. And, you know, the likes of LeBron and the Lakers, they have been there. Now, LeBron is in a different situation just because he's been there, but he's taking a team with guys. Some guys have been there, like Rajon Rondo. Hopefully they get him back. They got some other pieces, Danny Green. They've been in the finals. They know how to. They know what it takes to win a championship. I think that question is more centered around, do the Bucks understand how to get it done? And, again, they're probably the favorite in the East, but I wouldn't sleep on the Toronto Raptors at all. You know,
how are they doing this?
Yeah. Well,
Did you think once they lost Kawhi that they were still going to be not just good, but like you just said, legitimate championship contenders?
They had to have Pascal Siakam emerge into the role that Kawhi left. OG Anunoby is a guy too that has all the potential to be a great player, and he was kind of in a limited role with that championship team, and OG's minutes have gone up, and he's been pretty productive. He's a great defender. Norman Powell, Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, you know, those are veteran pieces there. And then the two guys that really lead your team is Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet. And those are two guys that, you know, it's just both those guys' stories are incredible. And what they're doing night in and night out from a consistency standpoint, production standpoint, is impressive. And look, I just talked about us defending. The Raptors defend. They guard. They're very good defensively. And I think it's this conversation that always gets brought up with the NBA of, you know, the casual fan that says, well, they don't play defense in the NBA. I assure you they do. I assure you they do. And the Toronto Raptors, Steven just asked how they're doing it. They're doing it with defense. And, they frustrated LeBron and the Lakers. And there is a question of, you know, is LeBron kind of in coast mode until he gets into playoff mode right now? That's kind of the talk around the Lakers. They haven't really been playing all that well, honestly. But I honestly think it's the Raptors, too, that their defense is really making an impact. And I just can't say enough about the story of Fred VanVleet. I just did a redraft on the 2016 draft. And to go back and look at that draft and see where Fred VanVleet was and talked about and to look back on his career at Wichita State, guy's a winner. You know, he's won a ton of games, and he just knows how to get it done. And especially as a point guard leading the charge, he averages close to 7 assists per game. Kyle Lowry is the same way. He averages close to 8 assists per game. They're a team that shares the ball. They're not an isolation team. They beat you with their system. They just know how to play. They trust the system. It's a testament to that coaching staff and Nick Nurse and their team that I think can really give the Bucks a run for their money in the East.
So I like to brag about, being early on Pascal Siakam. He was, I saw him play in person. I was like, that guy, I like that guy a lot. But I cannot brag about Fred VanVleet because I thought he was a tremendous college basketball player. Yeah. I thought he was going to be one of those Jacob Pullen types that was a great college basketball player, but at 6'1", he's either going to be a role player off the bench in the NBA, or he's going to tear it up overseas somewhere. There's no way I would have thought that guy not only is going to be a starter in the NBA, but a guy that is helping carry a team to possibly an NBA Finals. And that's how good that's exactly how good he is, right? Like, he's that good of a player.
That good of a player. And for young kids that are listening, with Fred, he was the number 19 ranked high school point guard. Nationally, he was ranked 138 for his class in 2012. And with Fred, he's just a winner. It's toughness, it's effort, it's physicality, it's competitive spirit. I mean, he's defined by those traits. When you look back on his college career, like his college numbers on his career, they weren't like eye-popping. I think he averaged 10 points a game. He did average, I think, 4.5 assists per game. He shot close to 40% from three. But if you go back and look at his shooting numbers, his college numbers to his NBA numbers, they're almost identical. He probably shoots a little better now. He's kind of hit his peak where he is playing at an elite level. And that has taken a lot of time. Again, he started in the G League, worked his way into a role with the Raptors, coming off the bench, playing limited minutes. And then all of a sudden it was like, wait, we got to play this guy more minutes. And now we have to start him, and he's got to be on the floor at all times when the game is on the line to make plays, because he just gets the job done. And he was doing that at Wichita State. He was doing that in high school. And if you go back and look at those Wichita State teams, I went back and watched some film of his last 2 years at Wichita State. I mean, he's just the floor leader. He was setting up Ron Baker, Tequil Cotton on those teams. Tequil Cotton and Clay Anthony Early were probably their top prospects coming out at Wichita State. And he reminds me a lot of Eric Snow. If you remember Eric Snow back with the Sixers, he's probably 2 inches shorter. But he always makes the right reads in pick and roll. He always makes the right plays. And you look back on the competition he faced in college too, Nate. I mean, he was playing you know, Frank Mason. Frank Mason was the guy. Frank Mason was the player of the year. And he was a guy that a lot of people thought, man, this guy gets it done. Is he the guy that we need to be thinking about? Yogi Ferrell, the Harrison twins, Aaron Kraft. Like, there was really good guards that he faced and had a lot of success. And that I think, was kind of, I think, undervalued when he was coming out of that draft. But your guy Pascal Siakam, you know, he went 27th in that 2016 draft. So both those guys were in 2016. But when you talk about Pascal going 27th, I mean, if you redraft that, he's the number one overall pick in that class.
Wow.
And that was a class with Ben Simmons, Jaylen Brown, our guy Brandon Ingram, Malcolm Brogdon is a part of that draft, Buddy Hield. Like, there's some really good names in that draft. And Pascal Siakam out of New Mexico State, not a guy that was really valued. You know, he didn't really shoot in college. And that's the whole thing I think people lose sight on, is when you're a college player, what your role is in college, what you do in college, what your upside is everything. And look what Pascal's doing in the NBA as a three, and he's a shooter and scorer, and he's a completely different player. But he was not highly recruited. He was not a high-level guy that was thought of. And that's the same thing that can be said for Fred VanVleet. And these two guys are on a team that won a championship. And I think they're hungry to upset Milwaukee and be the team to come out of the East and play in the finals.
Jarrett Sutton has been our guest. Sutton, overall, just from the viewing pleasure of this, I've enjoyed watching it. I know some people complain. I get a kick out of the fans on the video board. I liked Lil Wayne trying to virtually high-five the fan next to him last night, and so that worked out well.
Yeah.
And just the random, you know, Shaq wearing a beard, random, and a face mask, random former NBA stars, Chris Bosh, showing up in the crowd. But, I mean, you have to think that this has so far just been a wild success as far as the planning and how the games have come off, and it leads me to be very, very excited to watch, because it's fun, and that newness, the return of sports had us all fired up for the NBA, but now let's get to the playoffs. I'm ready for the playoffs, and it seems like the NBA has, for the most part, handled everything properly.
Have, and yesterday came out no positive tests again in the bubble. That's out of 343 players tested, or 343 people tested. That's good. So again, we're doing our part to make sure you know, we're managing the coronavirus and we're managing protocols and things like that. And you know, now I knew this would be the case once we got going, once we got into the regular season and finishing that, and these games have been very competitive. You know, I think that's been a hit. And it's been different with but I think the virtual fans has been great. It was cool to see LeBron's I Promise School Kids, the Laker game, I think it was a couple days ago. LeBron's standing in the free throw lane, and he looks up and he sees the virtual video board, and it's just I Promise School Kids. And he got a big smile, and I thought that was pretty cool. Just what the guys are doing and the unified voice of the players. My bosses have talked about it. It's been emotional and powerful to see how the guys have handled not just playing, but just everything that's gone on with the, you know, trying to speak up for social injustice and everything that's going on with the jerseys and, you know, making sure we're having a voice down there and we're doing it together. I think that's been a very much a success for the league, for the players. And I'm excited for the playoffs too. I mean, we still got to find who's going to be that eighth spot. Hopefully we can play better these next four games. But it's been just great to see competitive basketball, and I think the playoffs are going to be a lot of fun to watch this year.
Jarrett Sutton, thank you very much for the time, sir. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
That is Jarrett Sutton, our NBA guy, scout with the New Orleans Pelicans. Who are you rooting for, by the way? I know Jake. Well, Jake, you're on the LeBron train now.
Yeah, LeBron train. Yes, I am. Go, hold on. Go.
You know, no one's forcing you. You don't have to. Hold on. There's other teams you can root for.
Go LeBron.
Wow. Wow.
Nate, who are you rooting for?
Yeah, I'm rooting for LeBron. But I will say, this NBA postseason that's coming up, there's a lot of different individuals that I'm cheering for on different teams. I feel like this may be more than any other postseason I ever remember. Excuse me.
Maybe it should be more like go Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis is
say.
Awesome.
LeBron. Go Anthony Davis. That guy's amazing.
When he
already said LeBron. Too.
No.
When he dominated KU in the national championship game, he was a rim protector. He was this unbelievable defensive force and a presence scoring around the basket. That dude is taking step-back three-pointers off the dribble now. And, I mean, that's, by the way, that's the league. Like, this, the guy I was talking about that posterized Bol Bol the other day. 7 feet, hitting three-pointers. I mean, there are seven-footers that can handle the ball and shoot all over this league. It's incredible. But there's a lot of fun players to watch right now and a lot of fun teams to watch. But, yeah, I'm rooting for LeBron.
Who are you rooting for?
Anyone but the Lakers.
The only team I'm rooting against is Houston. I can't stand watching the Houston Rockets play. I dislike them actively.
I would love Houston to win. I like James Harden a lot.
That's the only team I just hate watching play that I can think of. I hate the way they play.
I don't think they will, but go Houston. You don't like Harden and Westbrook?
No, I don't like Harden at all.
I like Harden. I don't like Westbrook.
I don't like this dribble the ball for 20 seconds and shoot by yourself. It's isolation basketball the whole time. I like the guys that play team game. I like watching great passing.
The Clippers, I want the Clippers to beat the Lakers for sure if they play. But I'd much prefer the Clippers to make it to the finals instead of the Lakers. I think it would be great if the Raptors made it. Like after they were just pretty much left for dead after Kawhi left, and then if they're still able to get to the finals, I mean, I think it would be cool if Milwaukee won it. That's new blood. I'd like to see a Milwaukee at least in the finals. I don't need to see the Celtics or the Lakers in the finals again for the rest of my life. I mean, it'd be fine, but I've seen it so many times. Give me something new.
Was that Augie the doggy agreeing with you back there?
Augie was very angry this morning because she wanted to be let outside, and Daddy was tied to the office doing the show, and so Phil was yelled at and told to get up and take Augie and Danny out. I think they went out, but I'm looking out in the backyard. Apparently, they've been left back in, and Augie is not pleased with what's happening right now. So.
Well, I'll tell you one other guy that that I hope makes it into the playoffs is Ja Morant from the Memphis Grizzlies. That guy is really good.
Yeah, he's a stud, but they're not. They ain't gonna do it. They haven't even won a game yet.
They're just above the playoff line, though. I like Denver. I like some of those guys on that Denver team. I don't like their owner. He's the owner of the soccer team that he makes me depressed to watch all the time. Although they did win the FA Cup.
Who do you not want to win? Like, who are you totally against? You said Houston. Jake, who are you happy to root against?
Because
that was LeBron for you in the past.
Right.
You don't have that built-in villain for you.
I wouldn't mind seeing the Clippers fall on their face.
Why so?
I don't know. The move for Kawhi making that move after he won the title up there, I wouldn't hurt my feelings to see that happen. I like Doc Rivers, but, you know, that storyline, I'd get a chuckle. I don't have anybody I actively my whole life have rooted against LeBron, but it's what you call a double whammy.
I like LeBron and I like Anthony Davis. I just don't like the Lakers.
It's weird for me. I'm never cheered for the Lakers.
They've never been in a series that I've ever rooted for them. to win. Wait a minute.
Ever?
The first time... I can't... Who was I rooting for the first time when the Bulls finally made it to the finals? I think I liked Vlade Divac, but I don't think I rooted for anyone to sit back and watch that one play out. So, there it is. Not that anyone cares, but there's our NBA breakdown of who we're rooting for. Back after this on WHB.